Good evening. Compassionate, committed, and consistent. These are just a few words that describe my mother. From the day I was born till today, my mother has always been my biggest fan and inspiration to keep me pushing for excellence. She taught me a lot of things during my 29 years on this earth, from learning how to use a pencil to write to mastering the art of cooking a delicious meal as good as she would make it. But the most important thing I learned from her was kindness. Hebrews 13, verse 16 says, "Do not neglect to do well and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." My mother is the kindest person I've ever known. When I was in the college marching band, we had a road game in Miami, and she made cookies for me that ended up sharing with a couple of my friends. I told my mom how I shared the cookies that she made, and her first question was, "Did you not like them?" I told her that I enjoyed the cookies so much that I had to share them with some of my friends, and they were elated to have them. She was so thrilled that before I left to get back on the bus to go to Tallahassee, she made three large bags for my cookies. Two for me, of course, and one for my friends, or as I saw it. She would not hesitate to put others' needs before herself. She often tells me that she has been blessed by the Lord in so many ways in areas of her life that it's her duty to help those in need however she can. If you turn to Luke 5, 17 through 26, here we see that there's a man who is paralyzed and he has friends that bring him to Jesus for healing. In healing the paralyzed man, Jesus healed the man to bring praise to God, not to himself. When we are kind, we should do it to honor God, not ourselves. For example, let's say you have some food that you want to give to a food bank. God would not want us to brag about our generosity. However, if someone did find out about it and said you were kind, you would be giving honor to God by saying, "God has blessed me and my family with lots of food, and we want to share some of it with another family." My mother also explained to me that just because you're kind to another doesn't mean that they'll always be kind back to you. She would often tell me that you have to kill people with kindness. Sinking to their level just brings down your overall character. As a Christian, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. In Luke 6, 27 through 36, Jesus talks about loving your neighbor even though they don't love you back. Jesus encouraged his followers to love their enemies and pray for those who are unkind to them. The Bible says that Jesus showed his love for us by laying down his life. In John 1, verses 16 through 18 tells us that the best way for us to show God's love in our hearts is to share what we have with those who need it. I would like to thank all the mothers who show their children on a daily basis good examples and how a little kindness makes this world a better place.
My mother, Verona, as you know, has a great characteristic that I see every day. She goes on a daily basis to help other people, but especially her mother. Every day, or most days, she has to add more time to a day. So she put it basically, there's 24 hours in a day, and she makes her day 26 hours to help her mother. This is a great characteristic that we all should have of servitude. As we see in Philippians 2, 4, that is Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, it reads, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." My mom, she looks at the interests of her mom a lot by doing a lot of things, and the list is very long. She, for one example, she takes her mom to Sand Lake Road sometimes to take her to the doctor, and she does her hair, she does cooking with her, she does numerous things to help her mother. And it influences me to always try to help other people as I can, and always try to put other people's interests first. And we all should do this the same as Jesus commanded us to be servants. So thank you, Mother, for teaching me this, and we all hopefully also understand that servitude is important, and we need to be servants. And happy.
Good evening. All right, we've already learned a little bit. I'm going to talk about my mother. The characteristic that I was kind of thinking of when I was trying to think of my mom, there's always so many that I can think of, but the one I kind of landed on was being dependable, and the act of being dependability. Dependability to me is something described as according to dictionary.com, is a person who is capable of being depended on, worthy of trust, or reliable. That last word, reliable, is something I know we all kind of understand. It's something you can always be counted on in the clutch. You don't have to worry about if you tell them something, can you do this? And you know you don't have to ask them again. They're definitely going to get it done. I feel like that's always something that I can always count on with my mom. I feel like if we kind of show our like non-Christian friends or family members, this act of being dependable will always be, like always being there for them. It will act as like a first step to get them kind of like interested or starting to think about talking about God. It's kind of actually kind of piggybacks off of what Evan's lesson this morning, where he was talking about evangelism with neighbors. He was saying that you don't have to knock on the door and go straight to the, so you want to hear about God. You just kind of knock on the door because they're not going to go anywhere. It's kind of like your friends. They're always going to be there for you. And you can just he kind of said like play the long game. And you can always just be there for them when they're in trouble. Be there for them, show the Christianly duties. And they'll eventually, hopefully, start ask, so why are you so nice and always there for me? You can kind of start just kind of like a first step process for them to start learning and talking about God with them. Kind of when I was first thinking of the characteristic of my mom, it's in my life, it was kind of hard because she didn't really say when I was a kid, like, Jonathan, you need to do this and this and this. It's kind of just, she kind of led by example. And that's what always really helped me. So I had to kind of think long and hard. And she always just showed me through her actions of in her daily life. It didn't matter if it was like, if I wanted her to go on a field trip and be like one of the chaperones or trying to wake me up in the morning. Sometimes a couple times during high school when I had to study for a test or something like that. Or even going to one of the, help take me to my soccer games or basketball games. Because it's not like she had a choice because I had to get there. I couldn't exactly walk 15 miles to the soccer game. And then I'll be pretty tired. I just want to sit on the bench. So that was dependability, always being there for me to take me to all my extracurricular activities. Being dependable is being constantly reliable and trustworthy. It'll always allow us to continue in our commitments, even if it means personal sacrifice. So it can mean like we won't be able to watch our show, or we won't always be everything we absolutely want to, but it's always making that sacrifice to be there for other people in need. Kind of like because I know a couple people have moved recently. I know that some other people kind of, I wish it would be nice to sit on my couch and not do anything, but it's also you understand that people need help, and it's just always being there for everybody. Ruth is a good example. If you want to turn with me to Ruth chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Ruth chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods, return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. This kind of shows that she was throwing away her earthly family for her spiritual and eternal family, which is something we should always strive to do, because we're not judged based off of the family that we were born into. Not that it's bad. It's always nice if you have a Christianly family. It's always, but it's not the everything in the world. I believe we all need to show that dependability and think there's always a few questions we can always ask ourselves. And some of those might be like, how do I exhibit dependability in my daily life? Or what can I do to develop a better attitude of being dependable? Or what blocks me from being dependable? And how can I make a dependability function better, stronger, and faster, even in times of uncertainty and stress?
One of the characteristics that I think really stands out about my mother in particular, as well as all good mothers, is that they are vigilant. And the definition of vigilant that I'd like to read is keeping a careful watch for possible danger or difficulties, keeping awake. But I'd like to add that the act of being a mother in itself is vigilant, because a mother has to constantly be on guard for possible dangers and threats, both to her children and to those around her. And there's so many ways that my mother has been vigilant with raising both me, my sister, and also our pets, and other people's kids too. So I would like to give an example of actually something that happened within the last 3 days of how she was vigilant. So just about 3 days ago, we got a new bunny, a little bunny that our neighbors gave us, and we decided to put it in an enclosure that had worked well for a larger bunny, or could work well for a larger bunny, but for this small bunny, it easily escaped, and about as soon as the next day after getting it, it had already learned how to go through the wire and get out, and it got loose, and we had no idea where it went. We looked and searched all around the yard, me, my father, and sister, and we couldn't find this bunny. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my mom just goes outside. She finds this bunny, just spots it. I don't know how, but she did. And we soon got it and took it back in. And, you know, who knows if we would have ever found it if it hadn't have gotten out. Another story I'd like to tell is of, personally with me, when she heard a phone call. I mean, we'd just gotten caller ID about maybe a few months before this, and we were kind of new to it, so we didn't know how it worked exactly. Well, some person, let's just say her name was Carol. So Wild Carol is what showed up on the caller ID, and it was her last name being Wild, but, you know, first name Carol. But she thought that it was some kind of, you know, crazy thing maybe, but it ended up being a real estate agent, of course. And but, you know, I thought it was really, you know, I respected her greatly, thinking, you know, how she was looking out for me even in the most simple ways. I mean, and in other ways. Also, I mean, just, I don't know how everyone's father is, but mine does not really pay attention, even when he's here, to the basic needs of, you know, the kids, like food, water, you know, those things, you know. So sometimes, you know, when my mom came home late at night from shopping and whatnot throughout the day, she'd ask, were the kids fed? Were they, you know, put to bed and all that kind of stuff? And of course, the answer was usually no. So she'd come home, she'd make the food, she'd get, you know, all prepared for bed, and you know, just really took very good care of us, being very vigilant. So I'd like to read the verse from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. That's 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So, of course, there's so many dangers physically in this world that children are faced with, but even as adults, children, you know, and adults, we all face the spiritual dangers that are all around about us, and we have to learn to not only identify, but to protect ourselves against those things that could, you know, be a hindrance to us, and also to try to identify those things to others, and, you know, if possible, because that's something that really, as Christians, we are supposed to do. So I think that quality is of very big importance to me, and to especially to mothers when they take care of and help a child to develop into a very good responsible person. So I'd just like to thank my mother for all her many years of being a very vigilant mother.
All those things are just things that we could probably say about everyone's mothers here. All of them have been vigilant and dependable. And like Brandon's mother, I mean, all of our mothers are so just thoughtful for everyone around them. And like Nate's mom, I mean, I know all of our mothers have always, you know, cooked things for us or gone out of their way to help us. This evening, we've heard just a few of the ways that our mothers have influenced us. Just as Paul was moved with joy as he called into remembrance the faith instilled in Timothy by his mother and his grandmother, Lois, it brings us great joy to spend the day to remember all the things that our mothers do for us. Whether we realize it or not, many of our mothers have positively contributed to where we are today, where we are at this very hour. Our mothers have created people like you and me, that appreciate truth. And since they did that, we're here. We're able to have this church family. We're able to have each other. We're able to have a place where we can go to learn more about God and get to heaven one day. Our mothers have wiped our noses and wiped our eyes when we're crying, and wiped many other things that need to be wiped. And they do that with love. Our mothers have fed us even after we ask when's dinner going to be ready over 50 times and then forget to say thank you after they feed us. Our mothers have cared enough about us to argue with us during those rebellious teenage years or whenever it was that you rebelled. We all go through it. And later on in life, we realize that, wow, they really were right on a lot of those things. At the very least, if you can't think of something to thank your mother for, you can thank her for this. You can remember that yes, she did carry you in her body, normally for 9 months. Some may have come a little bit sooner than that. And it's given you the gift of life, the opportunity to live this life, to grow closer to God each and every day that you're on this earth. A gift that over 73,000 souls were denied this very day worldwide. We can thank our mothers for giving us this opportunity, this gift of life, so that we can have a chance to be with God and really, really love Him the way that we should. Proverbs 22, verse 6, tells us to train up a child in a way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Just like all the other young men that came up here, I'm very thankful that my mother has trained me up the way that she has. And I've made a vow to myself and to God to continue to follow the lessons that she has taught me as she continues towards her heavenly goal as well. And tonight, just like the others that have come before you, I'd like to share with you one quality about my mother that I feel as though has helped me on my Christian journey. My mother is not, I wouldn't describe her as an optimist. No, she's not a pessimist. I wouldn't describe her as an idealist or a communist. But maybe, you know, when I was younger, I might have thought that. But no, my mother is a realist. She is a realist. That is a quality about her that I believe she has imparted to me, and a quality that I truly believe helps me on my Christian walk. See, again, my mother is a realist. She tells the truth, and she is honest. I just want to give you a quick example of what that looked like in my life. Many of you know in high school and in middle school, I ran track. And my mother and my father, for that matter, they always made it a point to be at as many track meets as they possibly could. And they were always there cheering me on. And afterwards, when we would get in the car, they would give me, you know, so much encouragement. They would tell me I did a good job, and you know, they would tell me that they were proud of me. And those are memories that I'll always have and keep with me and very thankful for. My mom also had the ability to bring up the parts of the race that I didn't notice or maybe wanted to forget. she would say things like, "Wow, did you see that boy next to you? He had those really long legs, and he just came up and, you know, went by you." And I'm like, "Yeah, I saw him. I saw the back of his jersey. He came in first place." Or, you know, "Wow, did you see those boys from Lockhart Middle School? You know, they had beards. They looked like grown men. They were pretty fast." "Yes, Mom, I saw them. I saw the backs of their jerseys, and yes, they were winning the race." You know, I remember that. And see, my mother wasn't trying to put me down. She wasn't trying to discourage me when she said those things. She always said them with a smile on her face. I'm actually not sure why she said those things, but whether it was for a reason or not, she taught me a valuable lesson. It didn't matter that those boys were faster than me. It didn't matter that I didn't win the race. I finished the race, and she was proud of me for working hard. She was proud of me for doing the best that I could. Those boys were faster, but that's not a reason to pout. It's not a reason to be angry. It's not a reason to be depressed. There's always going to be someone bigger, faster, smarter, stronger than you, but that's nothing to worry about. You worry about yourself, and you do the best that you can, and that's it. See, my mother's a realist. She tells the truth, and she's honest. And these are qualities, again, that have helped me in my life. Every once in a while, I sit down and I have to examine my life. I sit down and I contemplate whether my life matches up with how I really should be living it. This is something that James talks about in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Again, that's James chapter 1. We'll read it real quick. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, This one will be blessed in what he does." See, sometimes physically we look in the mirror and we see our hairs out of place. And we see that we missed the button, it's off kilter. We look in the mirror, we see there's something in our teeth and we fix it. See, but that's a little bit more difficult when it comes to our spiritual life, when we're looking in the spiritual mirror. Because there are things that people can't see. And if we don't fix it, they may not know. And That's the moment in our lives where we need to be honest with ourselves. That's the moments when we need to be realist, when we need to be truthful. And that's something that I believe my mother has taught me to do. And I'm very grateful that she's taught me to be that way. That's something that we all really have to do. We have to sit down, we have to reflect, and we need to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves those tough questions and honestly make a change. Honestly make a change. Again, there's so much that we have learned from our mothers. Nate talked about kindness. Brandon, servitude. Jonathan talked about being dependable. And Jacob talked about being vigilant. It may be a lot to remember, but I would just like to challenge everyone here to remember at least one of these motherly qualities. Remember at least one of them and work on that quality this week. Work on it as you work on being more evangelistic like Evan talked about this morning. Don't forget to do that either. Let's grow closer to God by using the examples of these wonderful Christian mothers that so many of us have in our lives. So the question that we should ask ourselves now is, are you the man, are you the woman, are you the boy, are you the girl that your mother would want you to be? Or better yet, are you the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that your heavenly Father would want you to be? And if not, what are you going to do about it? If you'd like to make a change tonight, we stand here, we're ready. If you need any prayers of the church, or you know what you need to do to be saved, the water's there and we're ready to baptize you. If you have any need of the church this evening, please come forward as we stand and sing for your encouragement.